The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, investigating our lives and coming to a deeper understanding of our lives is an important part of Buddhist training, Buddhist practice. And there's different approaches to how to do that investigation, or different questions that we can ask ourselves. And in the last couple of years, I came across a particular way that the Buddha approached this that I hadn't noticed. I think maybe because I hadn't noticed how often this particular teaching appears in the texts. And maybe when I saw it once or twice here and there, I tended to gloss over it. But then I started looking more carefully and I saw this particular thing appears repeatedly. It's like seemingly a big emphasis in the suttas. And I've never heard any teachers talk about it. But the more I've been living over the last couple of years with this, the more I think it has some real wisdom to it. And so it's investigating things or understanding things from the point, the way it's usually translated into English, from three vantage points. One is, what is the gratification of whatever you're doing? What is the danger of what you're doing, and what is the escape? To put it in ordinary English terms, what's the advantages, disadvantages, and alternatives? So it's not just all or nothing, but looking at something and considering it, what I'm about to do, what am I doing, what are the advantages and what are the disadvantages, what are the benefits, what's the harm that comes from it, and what's the freedom from it, or where's the alternative? There was the freedom. And one of the reasons I like this particular consideration is that I think of it as being respectful for what's going on. It's allowing things, whatever it might be, allow it to speak to us or show it to us. What's really going on there? Because many of things in our lives are mixed. They have some advantages, some disadvantages. There's some benefits to doing some things and some disadvantages to doing some things. And to not to have a kind of like a set policy idea, this is bad, this is good, but to take the time to understand what is it, what's the advantages and disadvantages with this particular thing. And that can be applied to a whole range of things. So, for example, something that's supposed to be really good for you, like meditation. So rather than going around with a banner and saying meditation's always good, so always meditate, you would ask, what's the advantages and disadvantages? What's the gratification? What's the danger in meditation? And there are both. There are advantages and disadvantages to it. There's advantages to doing it a certain amount of time every day. But if you do it all day long and don't go to work or take care of your kids, that has some disadvantages as part of it. Or if you do it and you find yourself not calm afterwards, but you find yourself stressed afterwards, maybe it's not useful. Or maybe you do find yourself calm, but then you find that you can't quite figure out how to negotiate the life afterwards with that calm. So there's advantages and there's some disadvantages. Some people, the disadvantages of meditation can be quite big sometimes. There are people who, for reasons, you know, many different reasons, meditation kind of opens a corner of their mind that is quite distressing to have opened. You know, some deep unresolved issues or sometimes some psychotic tendencies. They've been stabilized long enough, but meditation kind of creates a little, takes away some of the stability they had, and some psychotic tendency kind of shows up, and it's not very. There's a lot of disadvantages for that person to meditate. So to say, you know, what are the advantages and disadvantages helps you to kind of look and consider and be respectful of the advantages and be respectful of the disadvantages that might coexist, and you have to weigh them and consider, you know, some things you have to weigh and decide, you know, given the pluses and minuses here, which direction do I go? How do they weigh out? And then you ask, you know, what's the escape, or what's the freedom from it? And to stay with the example of meditation, that's a great question, because I know plenty of people who are in the path of liberation, the path of freedom, but the way they meditate, they're not very free. Their whole relationship to meditation is very attached, perhaps. I remember one man many years ago, he'd been meditating for many, many years, very dedicated meditator, and I suggested he stop meditating for a month or two, just stop completely. I thought it'd be really good for him to get a sense of his life when he wasn't meditating. And he started crying because it was so cherished, he was so kind of attached to his meditation experience. The idea of giving it up was kind of hard for him. But what's the escape from meditation, or what's the freedom from it? It doesn't mean you have to stop meditating, but it means seeing that maybe there is a way of holding on to it, clinging to it, holding on for dear life. I remember many years ago also a man who did mental noting, and he was fervent in doing his mental noting as meditation practice. He did it all day long, all the time he did mental noting. And it, after a while, what became apparent was that he felt phenomenally unstable and insecure and afraid in his life. And this was his lifesaver. He was holding on to the mental noting just to kind of somehow cope with all this inner turmoil and outer turmoil that was his life. And the way that he was holding on to it, you know, I don't think it was helpful for him. I think it was almost like avoiding his real issues than it was really addressing them. So for him, what's the escape from meditation? Was escape from the attachment he had around this whole meditation thing. And a path of liberation, you have to also become free of meditation. It's nice to continue it, maybe, but not to invest so much, not to have so much. There's a lot of attachment in meditation. There's a lot of, probably everyone will do this sooner or later, but our sense of self can be tied to how good a meditator we are. And I've known people who have crashed and burned about trying to, because their whole sense of self was tied to having somehow good meditation experiences, and so there's attachment there. So the question, what's the escape, where's the freedom, is a very relevant question, because, you know, you can look, well, where do I find that? So these three questions, you know, what is the danger, well, what's the gratification, what's the danger, and what's the escape? What's the advantage, what's the disadvantage, and where's the freedom? Or what's the alternative? I think helps us kind of enrich and broaden our understanding of our life. And it means we don't apply a set policy or set idea. We don't overlay an idea on top of our experience. But we allow ourselves to investigate what's happening and find out in the situation, the particularities of that, what's the best way to go forward. How do we go forward here? So, you know, it could be something like you've been invited to a dinner party. So you might say, well, what's the advantages, disadvantage? What's the gratification? What's the danger of this dinner party? And what's the escape? and you might come up with a number of both. Both might be there. And by knowing both, you might be wiser about how you go to the dinner party. You might know that the disadvantages, it's kind of like, you know, completely noisy and a lot of people talking about politics and yelling at each other, and they're your, you know, it's like not so compatible, but they're your friends and you've known them for decades and you feel like you should go, and it's good to make those connections. And so you weigh the advantages and disadvantages. And then where's the escape? Where's the freedom to be found if you do go, besides, you know, heading out to the balcony? You know, what would freedom look like if you went in there? Some people focus a lot on what this is called the gratification. Some people focus a lot on the danger. Some people focus on the benefits, the pleasure. Some people focus on the disadvantages and the discomfort in situations. Some people are oriented to one or the other. And sometimes that's how they mediate their lives. And this question, where you have, this investigation where you end up looking at both, hopefully mediates or balanced the bias that some people have. But also the third question, what's the escape, is important because that also kind of offers the whole other alternative rather than playing in the middle of the pleasure-discomfort game or benefit-disadvantage game. Because many times we're playing, you know, that whole world of how we get benefit, how we get gratification from something, and all the dangers and the drag that things provide. It's kind of part of this, you know, this circular cycle of being caught in the world of desire and aversion and wanting and not wanting. It kind of feeds itself. It goes on and on. And so to have the third question, where's the escape, is a way to step out of that cyclic caughtness in all this. What I like about these three questions also is that there's an acknowledgement that things are gratifying. There can be pleasure in things. And so it's not dismissing it. And sometimes I've heard Buddhist teachers, especially Theravada teachers, sometimes be very negative towards like sensual pleasure or experiences in the world. But I think that this question, asking these questions, is very respectful for the sensual world, the world that we're in, because it recognizes there is gratification, there is benefits that come from it. And but also it's very realistic because we also look at the disadvantages. We look at the danger that's involved. And then and sometimes with the world of sensual pleasure, people wish they understood the dangers before they did it. And they got in trouble or caused a lot of harm. So to ask these questions early sometimes is a nice protection. So also I find that these questions, like what's the gratification, what's the advantage, doesn't have to mean only the good advantages. It could be the advantages we're trying to get from a situation. So like fantasy. Like fantasizing a lot in meditation. You could ask yourself, what's the advantage I'm getting? Or what is the advantage I think I'm getting from spending all this time fantasizing about something in meditation? And so, as opposed to only trying to get rid of it or only trying to overcome it or only indulging in it, to start asking these questions, what's the advantage, disadvantage, and the freedom from it? So what's the attempted advantage? So one example of attempt to try to get some advantage from fantasy is to have fantasies that are all about self-aggrandizement. Like there's a fantasy and you're always at the center of fantasy and you're the one who's, you know, doing this great thing in the fantasy. In the fantasy you get elected president. In the fantasy you get to whatever, do something. And so it's all about kind of building yourself up, and it feels very gratifying. And what you're getting from that, the advantage, is you're getting gratification. You're getting a certain satisfaction. You're looking for that, and it's soothing and meaningful. But if you look at the disadvantages of that, you find that in that kind of fantasy, you're getting alienated from it, from the world. You're living in a delusion. It's not really life being lived, even though there's pleasure there. It's not a very vital and nourishing pleasure. And so then it becomes maybe interesting to look for the escape. Where's the escape from fantasy? And it's easier to step out of it or let go of fantasy if you've really taken the time to look, what's motivating? What are you trying to do here? What are the advantages trying to get? And it's possible that if you look deeply into the trying to get some kind of building up your sense of self and feel good about yourself, that if you look deeply into that, that what that's trying to do is to create a sense of safety. If you just feel safe in this world, and if you feel like, you know, and then you can ask the question, what's the best way to be safe? Maybe there's better ways to be safe than have a fantasy life that kind of imagines you as being safe. So there can be a lot of unskillful behavior and thoughts that go on, and this question, what's the gratification, what's the advantage, what's the benefit you're trying to get, sometimes can clarify what's the motivation is, what's behind it, that can help show us the path to the escape, to the freedom. And then there are situations that are uncomfortable that we go into. And there can be physical discomfort and pain. What are the advantages and disadvantages? So sitting in meditation with physical pain, the disadvantage is it's painful. The disadvantage is maybe the mind's getting agitated and you're getting discouraged, perhaps. But what are the advantages of having that pain? One of the advantages is it might be a really good laboratory for you to understand your reactivity, to understand the strategies your mind comes up with and the fears and ideas your mind comes up with when it's facing discomfort. And that you find that it's very interesting to stay there and learn that part of you, to really learn it well, and learn what it's like to have the discipline or the freedom or the equanimity or something to stay cool, stay balanced in the middle of that pain. It's a great exercise. So the advantage is that you grow and develop as a person if you stay in it. The disadvantage is that you might be, it's very painful and, you know, tiring to be with it. So which of those advantages and disadvantages are most relevant for you, or how do you weigh them? And if you have a sense of if you really have thought out carefully the advantages of sitting with pain, then on your own free will, because you're inspired, you might say, I'm willing to put up with this for now. This is a good exercise for me. But if you don't think of it as any opportunity to sit with the pain, then there's no opportunity. Then why would you do it? You know. But if you have thought it out, then it's much easier to stay in there, hang in there with it, because you see the benefit that comes from doing so. And then what's the escape? What's the escape from being in the cycles or loops of pleasure and discomfort, comfort and discomfort? Some people, you know, their life is often driven by trying to be comfortable or avoiding discomfort. And so to learn how to be free of that loop, kind of not be free from it, but free of it, so that the world of discomfort, the world of pleasure, is not something that we constantly get hooked into. Things can be pleasant sometimes, and that's nice. Things can be unpleasant sometimes, and we're comfortable enough with that. We're willing to be with it. And then there's a whole consideration of the advantages and disadvantages. Also, I think it's good for our wider life outside of ourselves, the consequences of how we live. What are the disadvantages, advantages and disadvantages, benefits and harm caused from what we buy, our consumer lives? Things like what kind of car do you buy, or what kind of shoes do you buy, or clothes do you buy, or what are the advantages and disadvantages? Not to you personally, but to our society as a whole. It could be that you have a choice between buying, I don't know what, a luxury product that's you don't even need, and maybe the way that's manufactured and how it affects the environment and the making of it, there's a lot of disadvantages in the wider world. What's the gratification? What's the advantages of owning it? Well, it's just a lot of pleasure. And how do you balance that? Or perhaps it's a consumer good you're going to buy that is causing harm to the environment, but owning it, in your calculation, creates the greater good. And it's unfortunate that it causes some harm, but in this complicated world where there's so many different factors to take into account, we have to balance these different things. And it's not having a strict idea that I deserve to have X, you know, screw everything else. Isn't that important? But it's looking at everything carefully and weighing it, and then as wisely as we can, deciding where we fall down, what's the greater good, what's the greater, in the balance of it all, what's the right thing to do? And then what's the escape? And I think asking that question over again, where's the freedom in this, is so important. So even when we go shopping and looking at our consumer goods, where's the freedom in that? Where's the freedom? Where are we attached? Where are we caught? And where's the freedom from maybe not buying anything, not needing anything, or where's the freedom in a life where right now many of us, some of us are, you know, we can go shopping pretty easily, go down to Safeway and buy food we want to eat, but a lot of people don't, and tomorrow you might not be able to. And so you know how to be free from the psychological investment in having certain foods or having certain products or having something. Would you rather be free or would you rather have good food? You know, what's your relationship to all that? So the gratification, the danger, and the escape. And so the Buddha talked about that a wise person understands these three things. And sometimes when the Buddha talked about other religious people of his time, and they had some of the same teachings as the Buddha did about certain things. The Buddha claimed, but what they didn't have was they didn't understand the gratification, the danger, and the escape from those things. So even some of the Buddha's teachings that come down to us, you have to understand them fully is to understand the gratification, the danger, and the escape from those things as well. So I offer that to you as three questions that are part of this investigation, reflection, consideration that can apply in small details, moment by moment in our lives and in meditation, but it can also be applied in the large questions of our life as well. And I think it helps us to enrich our life and helps us to be wiser and more nuanced in how we understand this world that we live in, to ask those three questions. So that's what I have to say. Some of you, do you have any questions or comments you'd like to make? Questions about this or questions about that?
Just clarification about the escape. You're talking about the escape if you don't take that action? Where's the freedom if you don't do it?